Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend. Frank Rush here. It's good to have you along for another edition of Focus on Community. And this weekend, we are joined by Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute, IYI. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. How about you?
We are practicing safe distance over the phone. She is about 110 miles away from me at the moment as we do this program. So I think we're probably safe.
We're good at this point, absolutely.
And actually, what we're going to cover today is something that, a lot of folks, I mean, we've been at this coronavirus pandemic thing now for a month or so. But if for parents that are having problems dealing with their kids, as far as what do they talk to them about? How do they, I mean, that's one of the things we're going to kind of address today is what do you tell your kids? How much is too much? How much is not enough? What do they need to know? What do they not need to know? And well, you know, as well as I do, schools are out. So this whole world is a lot different. And the younger the kids are, it's probably kind of upset their whole apple cart.
It has. It has. And you're absolutely right. You know, I think we've been so overwhelmed that it's hard to step back and think about what do our kids need and how do we frame, what can we anticipate from them and how do we frame our responses? But, you know, it's really, it's like so many things. It's really important to consider how old they are and how you calibrate your response based on what that age of child can actually process and what's helpful to them and what might be harmful.
And that's hard sometimes for some parents to try to figure out how much is too much adulting, so to speak. I mean,
Yes. They
may be your kids, yes. You may know them, but you never really know exactly what wheels are turning in those little noggins. And you know, sometimes you got to you don't want to jam up the works. So
absolutely, and that's why for little kids, you know, the advice is really keep it very, very simple, brief and simple. You know, they may ask a few questions. They certainly are aware that everything's changed, right? And their routines are changed and school's different and that kind of thing. But you don't need to go into great detail. You may be consuming a ton of information, but the kids don't need all of that. And actually, that's not helpful for them. And so really keep it brief, simple. Let them know that adults and however you define those caring adults are working to keep them safe and healthy. And that can be family members, teachers, community leaders, national, state leaders, however you want to define that, but really brief and straightforward for younger kids is really important.
For kids that are homeschooled, they are probably adjusting more easily to this than the kids that are not because of the fact, well, there's really nothing different in their life, at least as far as education goes, because, well, they're used to having class at the kitchen table all the time anyway.
Right, right. And so they probably have a little leg up on the adjustment. You know, we do know that for some of the kids, particularly the older they get, like when you start talking about middle schoolers, they're going to have a lot of questions. Most of their questions are going to exist around what it means for them, right? So they're going to ask about, what are the chances I'm going to get sick? What's going to happen when I go back to school? Is my school going to be different? And we don't know all those answers. But again, what we do know is we need to give them the facts. We need to be really straightforward with them, talk about how it spread, what they can do, what they have control over, because they're exhibiting that loss of control, and they want to know what they can do and what's going to happen to them.
And of course, at that age, they're invincible anyway. They are supermen and women, and nothing can hurt them. And so why can't I go ahead and do my summer ball league or spring ball or this, that, or the other? And that's something you're going to have to explain to them.
You bet. You bet. And you know, the older it gets, the more important it gets as well, because high schooler, then you get the kids that are getting their own information, right? They're not even coming to you for information. They're getting it from their friends. They're getting it from social media. They're getting it from TikTok. They're getting it from, you know, wherever all those sources that they may see. And there, what we really need to help kids sort out is what's reliable information, what's speculation, what's just kids being kids and hyping things up, right? And it's hard sometimes for them to understand who to listen to and who not to listen to.
Well, and that's it. And also to convince them, because, you know, parents aren't necessarily that smart in a lot of cases, at least in the kid's eye. You have to convince.
At least you're absolutely right.
You have to convince them that I know more than Facebook does, or whatever it is they're using now. It's not because Facebook's for old people anymore, I guess. But
that's what the kids will tell you for sure.
Yeah. So how do you persuade them that you're not quite as ancient and antiquated as they seem to think you are when it comes to explaining what these things are?
Right. Well, and to find some of those sources that they do find reliable, I think there is, you know, there are a lot of professional athletes that are making fact-based statements. They're talking about what they're doing. You know, who does your kid look to, whether you find that credible or not, or whether you want it to be, you know, someone associated. I know there's a lot of messages going out from the schools. Who do they find credible? And make sure that person is giving good information, and then talk about that with them. You know, like you said, they often don't admit to listening to their parents, but many times it does sink in. It does sink in to a certain level.
And sometimes, too, the parents don't necessarily. Now, look, we can all sit back and debate, you know, wash your hands. Okay, good idea. It was a good idea before coronavirus ever came around, right. You know? I mean, that's just natural.
Good idea in general.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got these. I mean, but we're going to get to the point where do as I say and not as I do. And parents, I think maybe, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, need to think about the image that they are putting before their children in this new pandemic world that we're living in.
100%. You know, we know that kids are looking to their parents right now for that calm, guidance, reassurance that we might not have all the answers, but we're going to get through it. How can we as adults model that patience, flexibility, problem solving, all of those things? That's what kids need to see from their parents, not just hear, but see and hear. And that can be a tall order right now for adults who are also stressed out and there's uncertainty. But if we think about what our kids are looking to us for, it's really important that we're modeling those things we want them to take away.
The kids are looking to the parents, too, for a stable, safe home environment, which it may be safe, but things may not be for some homes all that stable anymore, be it because of people just afraid of catching the coronavirus or because of the economic impact that this is having of parents being either laid off, furloughed, or just outright fired and out of work. And now all of a sudden, the house isn't as stable as it once was. And that's something else to address with the kids, is not just the virus, but also how are we going to stay living where we're living and have food on the table?
Well, again, calibrate, you're absolutely right, and calibrating those discussions based on their age, you know, that it's okay the older the child is to share some of your own fears, and it's okay to validate their fears or their anger. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, particularly with teens, fear shows up as anger. And while they may be a little mouthier or a little more indignant than what they normally are.
I like how you put that. I like how you put that.
They may be, maybe speaking from personal experience, right? Uh-huh. As a mother of teens, maybe that happens. You know, they might be a little edgier, but really they're scared. You know, the underlying cause of that is fear. And it's okay to say, you know, there is uncertainty right now, and we are in a spot that's not ideal or that maybe has changed significantly. And at the same time, you want to talk about, you know, this is what we're looking forward to. We're really eager to get back to work. We're looking for additional options. Maybe we've reached out to our church family for some support, whatever that might be. Again, if they're angry, disappointed, sad, you want to help them manage that, not necessarily join them in that.
And I guess, too, this would be a good time to turn the whole thing into a learning moment as far as planning ahead, making sure you're prepared. Now, granted, not all of us were prepared as much as we should be, but this is a way where you can teach the kids. It's like, this is the reason why we want to make sure that we've got maybe, if we can, a little bit of money in the bank, and not a lot, but at least some, and that we've made plans in case things happen and we have an adequate stock of toilet paper. I mean, you know.
Right. Well, and I don't know if you remember, there used to be a million years ago, I worked at a bank and we used to go around and do these training sessions on, you know, you need some money to spend and you need some money to save, right? And you need to be thinking about those things. But I think coming out of this, there will be a lot of discussions, both at the family level and at the organization business level, about how are we saving for these unforeseen circumstances to the extent we can. And should we cut back on a few of those luxury items? You know, now you think back to, gosh, maybe you went out to eat a couple more times in January that you wish now you wouldn't have, right? And how are we going to learn and adapt going forward?
And also, too, to have consideration for others. I mean, we're all worried about wearing face masks and gloves and this, that, and the other thing nowadays. In some places, not all, but in some places, you may not be thinking about the other guy a lot, but this is one time now where we can sit back and think, boy, you know, we got to really consider other people out there and make sure they're safe too.
Absolutely. And that's really, that's a great lesson for our kids to learn, right? We may not have spent a lot of time and energy on that in the past, but thinking about, you know, is there an older family member that there's some way you could help, or even just reach out and pick up the phone and say, we're thinking about you. You know, how can we, that's a great takeaway from this unanticipated pandemic that I think we can, as adults, really help our kids process.
Kids and parents are also learning that education is taking on a whole different world now as opposed to what it was. The kids aren't going to school, which has kind of, again, upset their daily routine. And parents now are, in some cases, having to learn how to be instructors when they're not at work or doing other things. There's a lot of things going on. Some kids are online, some kids are not. They're doing packets. But, this is a whole new thing for both the kids and the parents, making sure the kids' education continues.
You bet. And, you know, we're really connected to and big supporters of a lot of our teachers that are out there. And I think a lot of families have gained a whole new perspective for what that looks like on a day-in, day-out basis. I'm sure we've all seen social media where people are like, wait a second, I'm not a good teacher as a parent, right? And I think, again, that's a good takeaway. And yet we just all have to be creative and patient. And even if, do the best you can and give yourself a little bit of grace, right? You're not going to be, if you're a parent who's trying to pick up and help with teaching, you're not going to be as effective as that individual who's trained to do it and has done it for a period of time. It's just not going to happen, right? And that's okay. We just really need our kids to get kind of those basics and to make sure that they're getting the basics and that they're somehow moving forward. Hopefully we look forward to the time when we can get all the kids back into school with those great teachers, and they're anticipating they're going to need a little catch-up in the fall.
In the meantime, if the parents don't have all the answers, the kids are probably willing to give you a little bit of time and cut you some slack for you to find it, or just throw up your hands and go, look, Junior, it's been 30 years since I was in school. I don't know.
I don't know. Right. Well, and I think that's more credible to the kids, honestly, than trying to trudge through it and pretend you know it. Kids are pretty keen on sniffing out a bluff, right? So if you're trying to pretend that you understand something you don't, they can tell the difference between you and their teacher, right? And so, like you said, it's better just to admit, hey, this isn't, I'm not up to date on whatever this is these days. Let's try to figure out, do we know someone who is, or is there some way to reach out to your teacher to get some help?
And I think doing that, I don't know of really myself personally, I don't know of any teachers that aren't looking forward to trying to help the kids through this. Because let's face it, they're stuck at home too. You know, they're wanting to teach, but they're having to figure out a new way to do it too.
You are absolutely right. The teachers, all the teachers that we've interacted with, which has been quite a few, have said, you know, they're willing, they're bending over backwards to do anything and everything they can to help their kids, right? They're trying to, you know, if it's a phone call and they don't usually teach over the phone, if it, you know, whatever those things are, you know, don't think you have to go it alone, because those teachers really are dedicated and trying their best in these weird times and circumstances.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it's important that we at least make the effort to make sure these kids, look, all these kids are going to be behind a little bit next fall, because yeah, you're not going to be able to replace 2 months of learning just the way we're doing it. I mean, you're going to try to keep up, but it's important that we at least try to do what we need to do now so that way they're not quite so far behind this fall.
Yep, do the best you can. And you know, even if you're not understanding a particular lesson, maybe your kid just needs more time reading. I don't know a single teacher, K through 12, who wouldn't say reading helps kids, right? And so, again, if you supplement a little reading, if you supplement with trying to figure out problems, whatever those things are, it's going to help them stay on track. And like you said, we just need to do our best to make sure kids are getting as much information and education as they can, and we need to be supportive of the teachers and educators that are working really hard to get them that information.
So here's a loaded question for you that you may have a hard time answering. That is, for what you've seen so far, talking to the teachers, parents, students, and I mean, because you're so IYI, Indiana Youth Institute, so focused on kids, you talk to a lot of folks that are in the kids' world. What's the biggest concern right now with school being out and the pandemic? What's the biggest concern that you see that folks need to address or are trying to address?
You know, that's a tough question, and I love when you ask me those tough questions. questions. The reality is there are some kids that through no fault of their own don't have, you know, they just don't have a way to connect digitally. They don't have access to a phone to call their teachers. They don't, you know, those kinds of things. And I think we're going to see those kids having the largest gaps to fill. And there are a lot of folks that are really worried about kids, particularly that live in poverty, kids that live in rural areas without connectivity. That's going to be a big challenge for us.
And also, too, now we're going to have this problem because at some point in time, the state of Indiana will finally figure out this testing thing, excuse me, that they're trying to do. This is going to affect those kids on down the road for the next couple of years, I'm sure.
It is. I'm sure it will. And I think it'll also be interesting because it'll be curious to see how much the structured teaching influences that and how much, you know, perhaps all this creativity that we're seeing from teachers and parents, maybe it does fill in and maybe it does a better job than we thought it would.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. So it's going to be something for a while. How is it affecting you guys at IYI? Because I know you guys like to research kids, their lives, and how different things throughout society affects them. Boy, you guys are going to have some stuff to study for the next several years, aren't you?
I think for as long, it's going to be a long time. There's going to be plenty of information and to look at where we think, you know, we're having some conversations with schools right now is where do they think those impacts will show up so that we can start targeting that. The other thing that we're seeing is we've moved, you know, we do a lot of local trainings, the youth worker cafes, right? We do about 200 of them in the state and we've moved all of those to virtual. And we've just seen youth workers from around the state, be they teachers or after school providers, have been coming out in droves. So we know that those folks also still want to be connected. They're still trying to learn how do they support their kids right now. And really for us, we've been inundated. We have plenty of work to do.
IYI.org is the website. We talk about it every time we've had you on about what a great website it is for parents to get information and not only just to give them ideas, but also things to study and answers to questions. What have you guys done with the website now to kind of try to help folks out during this big event?
Yeah, you know, it's everything's still always available there. What we're doing, even in some of our webinars, we just had a webinar recently talking about dealing with student stress and anxiety, which was off, you know, the attendance was about five times what our normal attendance are. You can get that now digitally. If you weren't able to attend that webinar live, we can, you know, the recording's available. So we're trying to make sure that we're flexible with schedules as well, right? And looking at different ways we can make sure we're adapting. And then we're always there for individual conversations. If you want to shoot us an email and ask a question, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. It's IYI.org is the website. It's a great website. You might want to click on it. See what's available for you there. We thank her for being with us today, and we will see you next weekend. And by the way, if you missed any part of our discussion today, head to our website. Everything that we've done today is available right there for a podcast. Just give it a listen. See you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.